Hello and welcome to this month's edition of Sports Nutrition Update. SNU provides each of our listeners with current information on a wide variety of topics related to health, athletic performance, fitness, and nutrition. On track one, Corey will provide his commentary adapted from the Certified Sports Nutrition Advisor Education Program, current research data, and his clinical experience. On track two, he will be joined by Tracy Hawley on He Said, She Said, for her female focus on topics related to whole food, health, relationships, and raising healthy children. Track three features an interview with our special guest, who will share their expertise and experience in the healthcare, fitness, and sports nutrition field. Here is Corey Hawley and this month's presentation of Sports Nutrition Update.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sports Nutrition Update, Volume 7, Number 4. Last month, I completed a two-part series on creatine, which was actually part three of a larger series of discussion called The Big Four. What an amazing supplement creatine is. You know, there are still so many who know nothing about it or who think that creatine is harmful or some kind of steroid, when nothing could be further from the truth. Creatine is a leading-edge anti-aging supplement. It's not only safe to ingest, but it makes all of us safer and stronger biologically when used correctly long-term. Steroids certainly can make us stronger as well, but they are not safe, and as a consequence of their long-term use, the entire body falls apart and becomes vulnerable to a whole host of different fragments of disease. The big four, once again, include HMB, L-glutamine, creatine, and whey protein isolate. These four, when combined, unite together to create an amazing anabolic effect as well as an equally reliable anti-catabolic effect. Although these two effects seem to be one and the same, they are in fact associated with different networks of the endocrine, muscular, and nervous systems. In simple terms, one pushes flesh forward and the other stops flesh from being consumed. So again, I will address each product in point form for easy reference and answer the following questions. What is it? What does it do? How much do you take? When do you take it? And are there any side effects? So let's continue on the fourth and final player in the group. In the CSNA program, I refer to whey protein isolate as the invincible. HMB, glutamine, and creatine are awesome products, but there is a difference between them and whey protein. Protein contains essential amino acids, and whey protein is one of the best sources of essential amino acids. HMB, glutamine, and creatine are not truly essential because they're all made in the body. But something like methionine or tryptophan, these are essential amino acids, must be obtained from outside sources. Without methionine, for example, the body can't manufacture creatine. Our first task when it comes to a healthy diet is to ensure the intake of what we absolutely need. That's the prime directive of sports nutrition, namely to supply our biological demand. So amino acids and whey protein isolate come first. Whey protein was introduced into the North American health food marketplace in the late 1980s and became really popular in the early 1990s. Although athletes popularized it, whey protein was first isolated and used by medical professionals in Germany, France, Switzerland, and England. Research scientists have discovered its remarkable healing and restorative properties, and physicians were utilizing whey peptides orally and intravenously as a treatment base for cancer and AIDS patients who, as a result of their disease, were losing tremendous amounts of lean mass. Whey peptides countered the catabolic effects of disease by helping patients to maintain a positive nitrogen balance. Whey also strengthened the immune response, which tends to collapse in degenerative disease. Keep in mind that conventional medicine has no drug in its pharmaceutical cupboard that can actually feed the body, work with it in times of stress, and strengthen the immune system. I discovered whey protein isolate at the 1993 Anaheim Expo West Natural Products Trade Show, and since then, it has become a primary food staple in my diet. Now, 15 years later, at the same show Tracy and I just attended here in California, whey is everywhere in everything. I remember the resistance to protein at the time whey protein was released. It was a hard sell. The natural health industry was convinced that taking extra protein was hard on the kidneys and only for athletes who really didn't care about their health. Now, practically every supplier has a version of whey in their potato chips, sports bars, and product lines. So it's good to see that whey has been vindicated, and also that we were right on the money from the get-go, and that everybody who was pitted against protein and whey at that time was wrong. I gained about 15 pounds of solid lean mass in 18 months after adding whey protein isolate to my diet, moving from a body weight of about 205 pounds to 220, and that was in my mid to late 30s, proving that even in your mid to late 30s, you can still gain nice quality lean mass. Nutrition plays such an important role. I still consume up to 4 shakes a day on average, taking in about 60 grams of whey protein isolate per shake. I never miss pre- and post-workout application, and this approach should never be underestimated. We now call the concept shake and take and promote the idea to everyone for general health. Here's how it works. You simply make a shake about an hour prior to training, hydrate the body up until the time that you work out, and during the training routine, of course, hydration and electrolyte chemistry is very important. Then afterwards, you head home and have another shake, and the whole idea is to sandwich the workout with the materials, the goods that your body needs to both work out for good energy and then to replete the glycogen, to replete the energy, the creatine, the glutamine, the amino acids, to get it back inside so that you're raring to go for the next time. And then when you take your shake before and after the workout, you take your vitamins. That's why we call it shake and take. So I think that everybody that I talk to ends up learning about this. I think that whether you're a butcher, a candlestick maker, an athlete, a baker, I don't care who you are, what you're doing, I don't care what your age is, but get into this concept of shake and take, and it revolves around training. So we're going to assume that exercise is a function and part of your day experience, and if it's not, it should be. And if you're going to work out what you need to keep the body well, then you might as well use this concept to your advantage. And I find that many people don't take their vitamins, but when they take their vitamins with their shake, they go hand in hand. They get into a routine, and it's all about training. So if training and exercise is important to a person, try and tie the shake and take idea in with that, and then their workout experience is only going to get better. You know, I always take whey flaxseed oil and my blender with me on every road trip and tour, and of course, we have all the tools we need here in the RV. And I've learned by experience that this approach helps to overcome the catabolic effects of sleep deprivation, high stress, and working long hours. Always encourage your client or friend to prepare in advance with the shake and take concept. And by taking their blender, a little mini blender, and the materials they need on the road, it's going to give them a definite value. You know, it's great to have what you need at the time when you need it. And don't leave diet to chance. Teach everyone you know to eat as hard as they train. And again, training comes first. You know, Pavel Rola said it's better to work out and eat at McDonald's. I guess at that time, McDonald's wasn't around. But he said it's better to work out and eat refined food than it is to eat the best of food and not train at all. Of course, we know that both are essential. If I had to choose, I'd go with that too. Because when you're working, you're burning, you're utilizing. And if you're not moving at all, you're experiencing that muscle slide. You can't absorb food as well. I don't care how well the food is consumed. So, but again, both are essential. So let's eat as hard as we train. Without training and an excellent diet combined with plenty of anti-catabolic supplements and antioxidants, there's no way that I could possibly maintain my lean mass or stay well at age 50. What I have seen happen to others, including many colleagues and the CEOs of various companies and suppliers, I do not want to experience myself. Due to changes in time zones, sleeping in and out of different hotels, and falling away from the comfort and routine of home life, many health professionals don't make time for workouts and end up eating an extremely acidic and rich diet, or they miss meals in a state of distress. They put their health on the shelf, so to speak. The result is chronic fatigue and sarcopenia and acceleration of biological age. So for your husbands and wives that take off, you want to come back younger, not older. You don't want to experience an acceleration of age as a gift when you come back home to your family. Whey is extremely soluble and very compatible with my biochemistry. In the past, I tried various egg, milk, and soy proteins, most of which were highly processed and heat damaged. But I always experienced indigestion, gas, skin blemishes, and pimples. So I didn't take any and instead used the Rocky-style approach with raw eggs. I'd put 5 to 10 eggs in a shake and whip that down. But when whey protein isolate hit the market, it really blew the socks off the health food industry. And in a very short period of time, dominated the shelves of virtually every fitness center and health food store in North America. Finally, the days of swallowing handfuls of amino acid pills were over. And from a clinical perspective, with hundreds of athletic clients, I witnessed people of every age and background gain quality muscle and or experience improved performance in the gym and on the field. I was working as a clinician in Victoria, part-time in a health food store as a consultant, and I had an office above the store. It was a very compatible business arrangement. But when whey came out, I was really big on it, so I started using it, telling everyone about it. And I actually created some studies, and I set people up on the flaxseed oil, added it to the whey protein isolate in water with some berries, and everybody was getting great results. They were losing body fat. Their immune systems weren't being enhanced. They were gaining muscle. They had more energy. But the inflammation was really subsiding, and that was very exciting. So we sold a ton of it. And the product at that time was Designer Whey Protein. And the people that were distributing it in Canada noticed that this one location in Victoria was selling more whey protein than all of Canada put together. And that's what enthusiasm about a product can do. That attracted them. We connected, and then that's what led me to working with Upper 49th, which was distributing Designer Whey Protein. I left Victoria, began working as a consultant across the country doing hundreds of seminars, and then a year later we got the contract for EAS, and the company just soared right through the roof. And I'll tell you some more stories about that in another SNU. So let's get back to whey and talk about it. And what is whey exactly? Well, it's a thin, watery part of milk that separates from the curd after coagulation, as it does in cheese making. Whey is mostly sugar, and the sugar is lactose. And it's mostly lactose and water, the liquid runoff called the whey, when the curd and the whey are separated from the milk. And whey contains less than 1% to 3% protein. But these proteins, referred to as whey peptides, they're the finest in the world, provided they're not damaged by heat. It takes over 229 liters of milk to produce 1 kilogram of concentrated high-quality whey protein isolate. So it takes a lot of milk, because it's low in protein, to concentrate enough of it to where you get enough of it in a canister. So that's part of the expense. The peptides are carefully isolated and extracted without heat. That requires technology, and that's also part of the expense. So when you buy a good quality whey protein isolate, and if it's the real McCoy, the real meal deal, it's going to cost more than the other concentrates or the other mixed proteins. And that's because it has more value. Now, as mentioned, whey contains the highest quality proteins known as determined by nitrogen retention. So that's why we can say that whey is the best because more of the nitrogen from the whey is retained in the human cell. And if you take a little bit of protein and consume it, about 100 grams, you can actually measure the amount of nitrogen retained in the human cell, and nothing compares to whey. Eggs come close, but still, whey is better for nitrogen retention and growth promotion. And so that relates to a biological value. And for comparison, whey peptides at the highest level have a biological or BV of 159. Lactalbumin, which we'll talk about later, which is also in a whey protein concentrate, has a BV of 104. And then we go down the line. Whole eggs are 100. They used to be the highest until whey came along and blew eggs away. Then cow's milk is 91. Albumin, which is egg white, is 88. Fish, 83. Beef, 80. Chicken, 79. Casein, which is in the curd of milk, is 77. Soy, 74. Rice, 59. Wheat, 54. And all the plants are low in terms of nitrogen retention. That's the key. So you can have a lot of protein from a vegetable, but very little of it is retained, and very little of it will be left to support growth and recovery. So that's why these animal proteins exceed values always, including even hemp. They always exceed the plants. But plants have other nutritive properties and a whole variety of flavonoids and carotenoids and plant-only based nutrients. And that's why we have a plant and animal or animal-related diet. You know, like milk is not actually an animal, but it comes from an animal. So if you consume milk or whey, you're not a true vegetarian or vegan, but you're doing yourself a great service by taking the whey. Let's end it with that. So what's in a name? Whey protein isolate, or WPI, refers to a standard or scale created by the dairy industry for the benefit of selection and sale to suppliers, manufacturers, and consumers. Whey protein isolate contains no less than 90% protein. If it contains less than 90% protein, then it's classified and called a whey protein concentrate. Concentrates provide less than 90% protein, but not less than 35%. So they're between 90 and 35. So whey protein concentrate could be 88 or it could be 45. You don't know. It should be revealed on the label. And unfortunately, some suppliers don't reveal the truth on labels and they get away with it. So they sell a cheap, low-grade whey protein concentrate. They buy it cheap, sell it high, and that's why it's profitable when you're selling millions of these cans to consumers. Without a police force, it's very difficult to ensure that the law is being obeyed. Now, there's another important point I want to mention here, and that's the percentage of protein present in any given whey protein does not describe the method of filtration or extraction. So it might be 90%, it might be an isolated, but it doesn't tell you whether or not it was extracted using nanofiltration or reverse osmosis or any of the newer, more technologically dependent extraction methods like microfiltration and ion exchange. It also doesn't tell you whether or not there was any heat applied. So that's very important. And again, there are no standards that the government or industry has come up with to ensure that you're getting a whey protein isolate with bioactive peptides that have not been damaged. So you've got to buy from reputable companies who will give you this information when you ask. And they might even tell you that on the label. So with the advent of sophisticated extraction and special filtration methods, it is now possible to isolate peptides or whey protein microfractions without using harsh chemical solvents, toxic acids, and high temperature. And this is what's done with the other proteins. As a result, up to 99% of the protein remains non-denatured and viable. So even if there was another protein better than whey, but it was heat damaged, it wouldn't be as good as the whey. The key is that whey is liquid. It's easy to process without heat. That's what makes it so attractive. This is one of the greatest selling points of whey protein. To optimize health and performance, a full range of low, medium, and high molecular weight peptides should be present in the whey protein. This is what gives the whey its value, as each peptide possesses unique healing and restorative properties. Whey peptides are renowned for their superior nitrogen retention properties, enhancement of immune function, hormonal stimulation, and gastrointestinal health benefits. The supreme advantage of whey relates to its purity, high biological value, and how the peptides that are in it are formed and isolated by extraction without the need for heat or acid treatment. This preserves the integrity and biochemical properties of the protein fractions, which I would now like to go into detail on the individual whey peptide microfractions to give you an idea of what makes whey so special and so unique. So a typical peptide microfraction profile of a good whey isolate, the first one is beta-lactoglobulin, 55.7%. The next is glycomacropeptides, 20.6%, alpha-lactalbumin, 14.9%, immunoglobulins, 2.5%, bovine serum albumin, 1.4%, lactoferrin, 0.1%, and peptide fragments collectively 4.8%. So you want to look for labels that actually tell you the percentages of the individual peptide microfractions. Otherwise, they may not even be present, and different methods of extraction, which we'll talk about later in the next series of this on whey, actually affect whether or not certain peptides are present in the final product. Much of what we get from whey protein is hidden in these individual peptides. So if you really want to understand the biological properties of whey as a nutrition teacher, as a certified sports nutrition advisor, then you have to get to know these peptides. And if you really want to dazzle people when you're talking to them about whey, throw in some of this neat stuff about the peptides and it'll blow their mind and almost guarantee the sale. And of course, you're not selling for selling's sake, but you're trying to persuade the person that what you are talking about is real and consistent with health and wellness. The first peptide is beta-lactoglobulin. It's the most predominant peptide microfraction in bovine milk. Bovine means it's from cattle. It's a carrier for retinol, which is vitamin A, and it protects it from oxidation. Beta-lactoglobulin transports retinol through the gut to the small intestine, where retinol is then transferred to a retinol-binding protein with a similar structure to beta-lactoglobulin. This beta-lactoglobulin is one of nature's richest sources of branched-chain amino acids, so it's considered an excellent nitrogen delivery whey peptide. The BCAAs have been shown in research to be very important to help build muscle, and they have a great anti-catabolic effect. For those who are intolerant to whey protein, they usually have a problem with beta-lactoglobulin. So levels of this peptide should not exceed 60% of the total peptide microfraction profile of the whey protein. The next peptide in terms of percentage is glycomacropeptide, or GMP. In the duodenum, which is part of the small intestine, glycomacropeptide stimulates the synthesis and release of the hormone cholecystokinin, or CCK. CCK triggers the release of pancreatic enzymes and the contraction and emptying of the gallbladder through the hepatic bile duct. Pancreatic enzymes are critical for the complete digestion of fats, proteins, and carbohydrates. The emptying of the hepatic duct is important for the elimination of toxins filtered by the liver. Cholecystokinin has the effect of slowing the overall digestive process by slowing intestinal contractions, thus giving digestive enzymes more time to work on their respective substrates, resulting in more complete absorption of a given digestive load. GMP has also earned a reputation as an appetite suppressant by slowing digestion. One perceives the full feeling longer following a meal, thus possibly discouraging between meal snacking. Glycomacropeptide also contains a compound known as sialic acid. Sialic acid acts as an anchor for viruses, allowing them to attach to the molecule. By including doses of sialic acid or whey in the diet as part of the protein supplementation, viruses are attracted to the protein containing the sialic acid, thus reducing the risk of viral infection. So you can actually recommend whey protein to prevent viral infection. In addition, glycomacropeptides are known to reduce blood platelet aggregation or stickiness. They contain antibacterial and antimicrobial properties and can actually reduce plaque adhesion in teeth. The next peptide is alpha-lactalbumin. As the primary peptide microfraction of human milk, alpha-lactalbumin binds and carries calcium and zinc. It's a highly digestible protein that speeds nitrogen to muscles faster than some of the other fractions. Alpha-lactalbumin is especially useful post-exercise when demand for nitrogen replacement is high. This peptide has been shown in research to help boost immune status by increasing glutathione. Alpha-lactalbumin provides anti-aging and anti-stress value. It is touted as a great source of tryptophan and as such is recognized for its benefits of improving tolerance to emotional disturbance and work-related pressure. Tryptophan is hard to get, especially the supplement. 2 30-gram servings of whey protein isolate can provide up to 2 grams or more of tryptophan. Moving on to immunoglobulin G, this peptide promotes gastrointestinal health. It acts as an antibacterial agent in the gut. It contains antioxidant properties and functions as a free radical scavenger. Immunoglobulin G has been shown to help support damaged and stressed out immune systems. Bovine serum albumin contains a number of the sulfur-containing cysteine and methionine amino acids. BSA, as it is called, is rich in glutamyl cysteine, a tripeptide recognized as a glutathione precursor. Once digested in the gut and absorbed into the bloodstream, bovine serum albumin can be readily absorbed by infection-fighting white blood cells called T cells. It helps to increase their numbers, levels of glutathione levels, and antioxidant activity, again, in immunocompromised patients. Lactoferrin has broad antimicrobial, antiviral, and antibacterial properties. Before whey was big and I was working in a natural pharmacy in Vancouver, I remember selling small vials of pure lactoferrin to patients with various health problems, as recommended by naturopaths and physicians practicing natural medicine. Lactoferrin is an iron-binding glycoprotein of the transferrin family, hence its importance for heart-training athletes. It has the unique ability to enter cells where it unloads its iron and then exits to replenish itself with more iron. Due to its high affinity for iron, bacteria cells become iron-deprived and stop growing. Lactoferrin binds with free iron to prevent oxidant reactions present in areas of inflammation or infection. Lactoferrin also protects immune cells against free radicals. So you keep hearing about the immune system. This is one of the great things about whey protein. It helps build a strong immune system. Peptide fragments are small proteins which result from the action of enzymes on larger proteins present in the whey prior to drying. These smaller fragments are quickly absorbed and provide added value for athletes following strenuous exercise, as well as individuals with compromised digestive functions. And so there are additional whey peptide fractions. Whey contains a number of minor proteins, lactoperoxidase, protease peptone, beta-lactoferrin, proline-rich polypeptide, over 60 enzymes, including lysosome, beta-microglobulin, various growth factors, somatomedins, and hormones. One of them that's really interesting is beta-lactoferrin, a quadripeptide. It functions as a whey opioid or natural painkiller. It's excellent for post-exercise muscle soreness. And there are growth factors in whey that help with actual growth of muscle and wound healing. So the whey growth factor in the whey plays a role in the formation of new tissue and in body remodeling, tissue remodeling. And these are, you know, fantastic properties. Another one, the beta microglobulin, boosts thymus development and acts as a cellular protection agent. So I think that these properties that relate to the individual peptides are important to understand, to memorize, to get down, to learn if you are in this field as a professional, so that you can instruct people as to why whey is better than egg and soy and hemp, although these other proteins have unique values associated with them. Remember that your whey protein is not heat damaged and has the highest biological value, and that most of the value is hidden and locked into these individual whey peptide microfractions. So that's it. We answered what whey protein isolate is. Next month, we'll go into detail regarding what it does for the body and why it is a staple supplement for millions of athletes and consumers worldwide. That's it for this segment of SNU. Thanks for listening. And here's an anonymous quote from the internet. The best vitamin in the world for making friends is B1.